Evening. I enjoyed the program, enjoyed all the workers. I appreciate Mr. Prim. If we were talking about, do we need to list all the years? And, you know, I encourage Sandy, let's list the years of experience of all these workers, because faithfulness is just a good thing. And it's good to be encouraged by faithful folks. And George has been doing this, it says 37 years, but it spans 38, right? Because there was a year there where we didn't have the program. And I appreciate his leadership and investment in our Awana clubs. Now, this is going to be a short message about children, but it's not a message to children, let's say. It's a message to parents about their children, about being a parent. Let me have you turn to Proverbs chapter 22, if you would, please. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Some of you immediately recognize what verse that is. If you need a Bible this evening, there should be a hardcover black Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And you can find Proverbs 22 on page 953. 953. And I want to begin with two simple observations tonight, and these are things that you as parents already know, but just to kind of set a little context here. And the first is this: every child is different and unique. Do you agree? Okay? We have six children, and there are no two of them that are alike. There's some that look a little bit alike. There's some that have some similarities in personality, but they are all very different. They have different strengths, different inclinations, different personalities. Any of you that have multiple children, you have seen that. There are differences, and that means that as parents, we have to approach those children differently, right? And not only is every child different, but children change as they age and grow. And so that means that how we parent them has to change with them. I mean, you feed an infant with a bottle, but if you're still using a bottle with your sixth grader, something is not working the way that it should, right? Okay, so we make adjustments in how we minister to our children, how we work with them, how we seek to lead and guide them as they develop, as they change. And tonight I want us to look at just one verse of Scripture, a very familiar verse. Certainly one of the most familiar verses when it comes to parenting, maybe the most familiar. And in fact, as I was looking through my notes at our last Awana closing program 3 years ago, I talked about this same verse, though from a different vantage point. So this will be a new message, but from this same text, because it really relates so well to what we try to do in Awana and what God would have us to do as parents. So what we have here is, despite the fact that there are children of different ages and different personalities and all those things, here we have a timeless universal wisdom from the Word of God. And as I said, most of you are very familiar with this verse: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, I'm gonna embrace Brother Josh's admonition. So I'm gonna have you say that verse with me. This is the first step to memorizing it. If you don't already know, speaking out loud is a good way to memorize the Word of God. Something just kind of having it pass through your lips solidifies it in your brain a little bit better. So let's say this verse together: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I can summarize the implications of this verse like this. It is the role of Christian parents to inspire their children to follow God. Or maybe like this: as parents, we need to help our children cultivate a heart for God and a desire to live their lives for Him. And as we talk through this verse quickly tonight, I'm just going to divide it into three parts, just kind of the three sections of the verse. The first part is a command: train up a child. And then there's a goal or a direction, we might say, in the way he should go. And then there's a principle: and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Father, we are thankful for your word. I'm thankful for these young people. I'm thankful for the verses that have been spoken even this evening. I'm thankful for the verses that have been hidden in hearts. And as has been said, one of the leaders mentioned that we trust that these things that the children have hidden in their hearts, that they will be brought to mind by the Spirit of God along life's path. And it will help these young people, guiding them, encouraging them, comforting them, challenging them, confronting them. I'm thankful for your word. And I'm thankful for that your word gives us instruction as parents as well. And I pray, as we look at this very simple verse and yet a very powerful verse, that it would encourage us and help us as moms and dads, as grandpas and grandmas. And we're gathered together tonight around children, around families. And so I suspect that almost everyone here has a young person or young people in their lives that they are investing in, that they are praying for, that they are seeking to encourage along life's path in a Godward direction. And I'm thankful for parents where that is their desire. And I pray, Father, that you would use your word tonight to inspire and encourage us to that end. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So first we consider this command, train up a child. Now, that comes from a Hebrew word. The Old Testament's written in Hebrew. Well, most of it's in Hebrew. Some is in Aramaic, but mostly in Hebrew. And the Hebrew word that's translated train up, if you go to the root of that word, it has the idea of mouth or palate. And so there's kind of an interesting word picture behind this word. It has the idea of placing a morsel of food in the mouth in order to stimulate the appetite. You know, for example, in ancient Jewish culture, a midwife would rub, and I did not track down why this particular food, maybe it was plentiful, maybe it's particularly effective this way, I've never tried it, but a midwife would rub chewed dates under the palate of a newborn baby. And that would stimulate the sucking reflex and create a craving in that little life for mother's milk. So that's kind of at the heart of this word. Now, you know, it evolves culturally and has different implications to it, but that's really the idea. When we say train up a child in the way that he should go, the idea there is touching their palate, creating an appetite. Trying to cultivate a desire for certain things. And in that foundational meaning, in the original meaning, is the idea for certain foods. Now, in our home, on Sundays after church, most Sundays, okay, we gather whatever of our kids and grandkids are in the area and are available, and we pack around the table. And if we have to add card tables or whatever, we do that. And we just enjoy that Sunday lunch together. And I sit at one end of the table with my back to the window, and my wife sits to my left, and then to my right is typically one of my sons or daughters, son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, whoever is mom or dad to the grandchild sitting in the high chair right next to me on my right. And it's a great place to be, right? I get to mess with their feet and things like that and enjoy talking to them. But mom or dad is there to deal with the matter of feeding them, right? I don't have to do with that. I keep my hands clean and dry, but I get to enjoy it without having to do it. And so we are on right now our third grandchild to pass into the high chair stage, okay? Max, who you saw a little bit earlier, he's past the high chair stage, and Luke is now past the high chair stage, and now Noah is in the high chair stage. And so I'm hopeful that we always have someone in the high chair stage. That's my goal, right? And I watch them, and, you know, they start out, right? And they start out with milk, with a bottle, whatever. But, you know, they start out with like that green, who would ever want to eat pureed peas? I'm not sure, right? You know, but we feed them this green goo and everybody's saying, oh, it looks so good. You know, I should be honest, okay? But, you know, and they, you know, you feed them, they develop a taste for that. And it changes a little bit with time, and pretty soon there's solid food. And they start out and they're kind of, at first they don't feed themselves at all, they just sit there, and then eventually they're feeding themselves with their hands and getting it all over everywhere, and in time they're trying to use a spoon or a fork with varying degrees of success. Noah right now is at the stage where he gets the idea of the fork, but he thinks you have to hold the fork, put the food onto the fork, and then eat it. He hasn't gotten the spearing concept down yet, but he's in the process of developing this. But if you think about it, when that baby starts out small, that baby has no clue how to feed itself. It doesn't know what it wants. It doesn't know what it doesn't want. You don't give that baby a choice. You just feed them what they need. And eventually they develop a taste for food. And they develop an interest in feeding themselves. And of course, if we wait enough years, when they're way past the high chair stage, you know, they're in the business of buying their food and preparing their food and all of those. But there's a process there. But, you know, it starts there in the high chair where mom and dad are trying to help them develop a taste for good food, for nourishing food, helping them to learn how to eat and chew and swallow properly and digest that food so that it can strengthen their bodies. And that's the imagery of this verse. You know, when Solomon says, train up a child in the way that he should go, it's touch the palate, cultivate that desire, and cultivate that desire for the right kind of food, in the very, very literal sense, for the food of life, the physical food of life, but obviously in the context of this verse, for spiritual nourishment, for the food of life that helps them to develop and grow and go forward in their walk with the Lord. So the context here, of course, isn't really about food, though it probably is broad and includes all aspects of training and development and cultivating a taste. But in particular, this verse has as its goal that we need to train our children in the way that they should go. Now, in the Hebrew expression about training up a child, also sometimes you'll see it translated with the idea of starting out. And so here God is commanding parents to intentionally commit and prepare their children to walk a path of godliness from the very start of their lives. You know, it's about parents orienting the moral and spiritual trajectories of their children in a particular direction. You know, I grew up, spent some time in the military, and every branch of the military, including the Navy, though we're not involved much in face-to-face kind of combat, you know, at some point they take you out to a rifle range and a pistol range, and you learn to shoot at a target. And if you, you know, they get everybody lined up on this range, and there's a guy there, and he's got a little litany that says, ready on the right, ready on the left, all ready on the firing line, commence firing. If you want to get yourself in the worst trouble you could ever get yourself in, it's take your loaded weapon and begin to turn like this, okay? You will have people descend on you in an instant. You always have to keep that weapon aimed down range. But they're there to teach you to aim for a target, to hit what you're shooting for. And this is a verse that says, listen, you need to have a goal as a parent. You need to have a target that you're shooting for. You need to have some priorities that you're trying to establish for your children. You're helping them to cultivate a taste and a desire in a particular direction. And that direction is the way that he should go. Now, there are ways that children would go, the ways that they want to go, And our hope is eventually to bring the ways that they would go or want to go in line with the way that they should go. And we do that by setting them on that path and helping them to walk on that path. You know, it's interesting. In the book of Proverbs, we find only two ways. You know, and they're consistently presented in relief, in contrast. There is the way of wisdom, the way of life, and there's the way of folly and the way of death. There is the wise person. And there is the foolish person. And so, moms, dads, let me ask you, which path do you want your children on? Do you want them on the way of wisdom and life? Or do you want them on the way of folly and death? And the book of Proverbs really lays it out just that simply. And by virtue of the fact that you have your children in Awana, and you're here tonight, that tells me that I know the answer that you would give to that question. But, you know, here's the thing. Sometimes we can have good desires and honorable aspirations, but we never quite get around to doing it. And we need to be very intentional, very purposeful about keeping our eyes on the target, as it were, and keeping our children aimed on that path and pointing them down that path and helping them along that path. And sometimes that requires, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. You know, it's not always an easy thing. And the reality is the natural way of a child, as is the natural way of all of us, is often the wrong way. The youth's way in the book of Proverbs is often presented negatively. You know, when left to themselves, the young lack judgment. And they have hearts that are naturally inclined towards foolishness. Proverbs 7:7 says, and I beheld, I saw among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. And we are there to help our children develop the right kind of understanding, to give them an appetite for the things of God, the truths of God, to give them a desire to walk righteously with God and in the paths of God. You know, we want to point them to Christ. We want to see them saved. We want to see them living for God. We're to train our children in the way they should go, the way they need to go, the way that we desire for them to go. And you help your children along that way, you know, by what you teach, by what you require, by what you live, and by what you inspire. And really, all of that, the foundation for all of it is the Word of God. You know, the heart of Awana, as you have seen tonight, is pointing children to the Scriptures. Now the first priority is pointing them to God and to Christ, but God has revealed himself through the Scriptures. He's shown us the way to Christ through the Scriptures. And so Awana uses the Scriptures as a means of helping those children learn and understand and being set on a path forward in the direction of God. I was saved as a young adult, and one of the first scripture texts I ever memorized as a young Christian, and I will take Josh's challenge to heart. When I was younger, I was much more diligent about memorizing the Scripture. And in my older age, and I don't use the excuse of it's harder when you're older. That's true, but okay, that's no excuse. It just means you need to be more diligent, right? But really, it is good for us to do that. And one of the first passages I ever memorized was 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And it gives us four things there that it says the Scripture is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for telling us what's right. It's profitable for reproof, pointing out to us the errors in our way, the sin in our lives, the wrong direction when we're on it. And it's profitable for correction. That's how to take those things and get back going in the right direction. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, how to stay on that right direction. And parents, we need to use the Word of God to help our children understand what's right and what's wrong and how to get things right and how to keep things right, how to keep going forward, how to keep walking for God. We need to keep them pointed in that direction, in the way that they should go. And so here in our text, and really throughout the book of Proverbs, throughout the Bible, God tells parents to instruct their children in the things of God and to talk about the things of God and to teach their children the Scriptures and to set boundaries, right? To say, this is wrong, we're not going there. You know, no, don't go this way. You're going this way, we need to get back going this way. And to get them back on the path when they go astray, and to keep reminding them, keep encouraging them, keep challenging them, God's way is best. And that's what we're to teach. You help your children develop a pattern of living for God by what you teach, by what you require, the boundaries that you set, what you expect of them, what you don't allow, and by what you live, by the example that you set, and by what you inspire. So let's go back to the kitchen table for a minute with the little guy sitting in the high chair. And you know, as they grow and get a little bit older, they begin to observe that green mush that they're eating is not quite as desirable looking as what mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and older brother is eating over here. And they see what's going on around them, and they desire what they see. You know, now I've been trying to use that principle. I love angel food cake. I am in the minority in our extended family, okay? And so I have made it my avowed intention to try to inspire my grandsons to like angel food cake. And my reasoning is this: if they like it, it's going to get served more often, right? You know, they're a little higher on the pecking order maybe than I am, okay? But you know, we recognize that the children see the examples around them. And Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And so it's important what we teach. It's important what we require, but it is equally important what we live. You know, the example that we set. You know, you can tell your child all day long that they need to be forgiving and they need to not get angry. And if you then walk in and get all frustrated and angry with them, guess what? You have just undone that biblical teaching. You know, because they're saying, well, you say this, but you do this. And if we want to challenge our children and point them in the direction towards God, we've got to be walking that path ourselves. We have to be honest about it and faithfully going down a path in a Godward direction, such that we're really just inviting our children, our grandchildren, whatever, the children we're teaching in a school setting, whatever it may be, to come along with us on that good and healthy and spiritual path. And we're sharing with them the things that God is showing us and teaching us, and encouraging them to go in that same direction. Mom, Dad, it matters how you live. And it matters what's important in your life. And what you, by your actions and by your words, what you inspire your children to pursue. You know, the things that are important to you will likely become important to your child. You know, if one of the most important things to you is financial security and material wealth, guess what? That will probably become something that is extremely important to your child. But if your priority is being around God's people, spending time with the Lord, seeking to reach others with the gospel, then that will likely also become a priority, become important to your children as well. The goal of Christian parents ought to be to create a family atmosphere that makes it easy for your children to follow Jesus Christ, because they're just going right along with mom and dad. That ought to be the home goal, to have a home and a relationship that makes it easy for them to look to Christ and to trust in Christ and to walk with Christ and to serve Him. So we've talked about the command and the goal, the direction. Lastly, let's consider the principle found in this verse. Okay, it says, train up a child, there's a command, in the way he should go, there's the goal, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's the principle. Now, sometimes we struggle or question this verse because we're not sure what to make of that last part. You know, we see homes with Christian parents who walk with God, who love their kids, and who, best we can tell, they do a good job teaching them and pointing them to Christ. So if this is true, the children will go down the same path, right? And usually they will. Generally they will. But sometimes they don't. And the problem isn't that God's word is off, or that God is just speaking flippantly there and he doesn't really mean what he says. The problem is the human heart. You know, just like you and me, you know, your children and my children, they aren't robots. They aren't puppets. You know, God made each of them as unique individuals. They have hearts and minds and wills of their own. And when they're young, we make lots of choices for them, right? But as life unfolds, we need to let them make more choices, and hopefully we have put them on the right path. And as they become in the point where they are making their own choices, they are making choices along that path. But they are their choices. And sometimes, you know, those choices may lead to disappointment, even heartbreak. And people will say, well, I don't get it. This verse says, you know, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Listen, this verse is true. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. But let me offer two points of explanation about that. First, this verse is a proverb. It's a principle. It's not a guarantee, per se. It's saying that the best thing you can do for your child to help them live for God is to start them out on the right path, help them develop a taste for the things of God, teach them, guide them, give them a good example to follow, encourage them, inspire them, pray for them. If you will do that, characteristically, God's going to use that in a mighty way in their lives. You know, and there may be some struggles along the way, but God is going to keep bringing those things back to their heart. So we talked about memorizing those verses. You know, I've known people who said, I memorized all these verses as a kid, and then I just kind of went my own way for years and years, and you know, God kept bringing that one verse that I memorized to mind, and I couldn't get away from it. And then God eventually used that to bring me back to Him. That happens, folks. I've heard a story, an account like that from people on more than one occasion. But it is true that this is a principle. God doesn't constrain people's will. Sometimes young people make some bad choices, even contrary to the teaching and encouragement of their parents. And second, I think this verse is telling us something along these lines. You know, God has given you as a parent the responsibility and the opportunity to plant seeds of godliness in your children's lives. And if it seems like those seeds aren't germinating, but you know you've planted them, don't give up. You know, keep sowing, keep teaching, keep challenging, keep encouraging, keep praying. And if you will just trust God and hope and wait and do what you know to do, it's different parenting a teenager than a little child. It's different parenting a young adult child. It's different parenting children that get older. You know, there's an opening of the aperture in terms of our degree of involvement. And it moves from control when they're young to influence as they get older. But, you know, you should never give up, even if your child is going down a path that isn't exactly what you had hoped for. And frankly, even if it seems they're on that path, you better be just as committed to asking God to keep them there. You know, because we're all just one step away from a really bad decision, from a really wayward step. And if we will sow those seeds and commit our children to the Lord, you know, there's a promise there that those things that we touch their palate with, that God is going to bring them back to them. And God is not going to give up on them. And God is going to continue ministering to them, even if it's a story like the prodigal son who went a long way down the wrong path. But you know what? The Lord brought him back. The Lord grabbed his attention. A few years back, I officiated the funeral of a godly lady in our church. And after the funeral, her son, who was probably around my age, came to me and just, you know, almost immediately in the conversation, he said, you know, I am a living example of Proverbs 22:6. And he talked about how his mom had raised him and taught him the Word of God and prayed for him and ministered to him and had him in church. And I don't remember if he was in Awana or not, but he probably was. You know, all those different things that we do to try and get our children on a path towards God. And he said, you know, and when I got out of home, I just, you know, ran headlong my own way. And he said, you know, and my mom was burdened. My mom was brokenhearted, but she kept praying for me. And you know, when we would have contact, she would tell me she was praying that, you know, the Lord would be at work in my life, and she would remind me of those things. And he said sometimes I'd get frustrated with her over it. He said, but you know, after about 20 years of going my own way, all of a sudden God took all those things and brought them back home to roost, and God opened my eyes and God softened my heart. And in the latter, then, you know, more recent 15, 20 years, he said, I have been living for God. You know, my mom's prayers were answered. She prayed, she invested her life in me, and it took a while. But God brought a return on that investment. And he was a zealous guy with an enthusiasm for the things of God that I'm sure made his mom proud in those latter years of her life. You know, it's not easy to raise children. Everything really in this world fights against it. It's not easy to keep our culture at bay. I mean, the devil fights against godly parents. The world and the flesh are opposed to pointing our children in the right way. It's easy to be frustrated. It's easy sometimes to maybe feel like you're failing as a parent. And only those who are parents know the tears, the worry, the fears sometimes that are there, you know, as we get concerned about this aspect of a child's life or whatever it may be. But you know what, folks? You're not doing it on your own. Your child has another parent who's a lot better than you. He has God, she has God as his or her father. And that parent is investing in them every moment of every day as well. And God calls us to be instruments that he wants to use to teach our children, to point them in the right direction, to be an example for them. But it's God who is changing hearts. We cannot change a heart. We can be a good example. We can teach the Word of God. We can provide boundaries. There are these things that we can do, you know, as best we know in the power of God. But ultimately, every child who walks with God does so because God has just taken hold of their heart and God is at work. And so the best thing that we can do is just commit our children to the Lord and be faithful. And if things are going well, so to speak, praise God, be faithful. And if things seem to be going in kind of a difficult way, well, praise God and be faithful because God is still at work and you can count on Him. And you know, when you see God at work then, and you know, it's kind of a dark tunnel through teen years and younger adulthood, but you know, there is a real joy as you see, you know, one of the most just gratifying and enjoyable things is to hear like my kids say, "Oh, I sound just like Mom," and I'm thinking, "Yes, you know, just like Mom," right? You know, and they come back and they say, "You know, I didn't always see what you were doing, but I see now." You know, one of the best things that can ever happen to children who grow up in a Christian home is to have children for themselves. It has a way of opening their eyes to everything that Mom and Dad were doing all those years. And sometimes they appreciated it, and sometimes maybe they didn't appreciate it as much, but suddenly they begin to understand that. And there is great blessing and great encouragement when you see the evidence of God's hand in your children's lives. You know, in answer, just doing the best you know to do, committing them to the Lord, praying for Him. So let me finish this up with some specific applications just briefly. And if you're going to write something down, you could write these down. And the first is this: be intentional in your parenting, not haphazard. A parent's intentional efforts to direct their children toward God early on will have a permanent effect on those children for good. Be urgent about parenting. I don't mean panicked. I don't mean intense necessarily. But, you know, waste no time. Don't think, well, I'll kind of deal with that tomorrow or next year or whatever. We need to attend to the things we need to attend to now. Someone has said, children are like wet cement. You can mold it and work it, but it hardens fast. And once it sets, it's a lot harder to change. So don't wait. Be honest about your example. You can't point your children to Christ if you're not following Him yourself. And you need to honestly ask yourself, you know, how focused am I on the things of God? How intent am I on living for God and walking with God? What are my children seeing? And if there's some needs there, cry out to the Lord to help. Be unconditional in your love for your kids. No matter what they do, keep loving them. But remember that loving them doesn't mean overlooking their sin and encouraging them in a wrong path. Be dependent on the power of God. We can't change our children's hearts, as I said, but God can, and be praying. There are many things that parents can do for their children, and many things that we must do. But one thing is absolutely essential. You have to pray for your children. You can do a lot of things once you're praying, but there won't be much accomplished that matters for eternity unless you're praying for them. But if you'll ask for God's help and if you'll believe that He loves your kids more than you do, and I'm telling you that He does, you'll be encouraged. And you'll be in a place where you can really inspire your children to walk with God because you'll be excited about doing so yourself. As I wrap up tonight, let me just address one more thought and then we'll close. As Christian parents, our goal isn't just to have good kids who pretty much stay out of trouble and have decent character and do well in school and are contributing members of society. I realize as you look at the backdrop of our culture, that might be a pretty successful outcome, okay? But really, as Christian parents, that is not nearly enough. You know, our goal as Christian parents is to inspire our children to follow God, to walk with God, and to love Him passionately. And the only way you can do that is if you have a relationship with Him as well. And what I mean by that is, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? In Awana, we seek to encourage the children to trust Christ as their Savior. And yes, learn the Word of God and learn the way that they should go. But as parents, you need to know Jesus yourself. And the Bible says that salvation isn't by, you may be the just a fine, diligent, dedicated, committed, sacrificial parent. You know what? That won't get you into heaven. You know, you may be just absolutely determined to be a good neighbor, to be a kind person, you know, and that's great as far as it goes, but that will not get you into heaven. The Bible says that salvation isn't about the works of righteousness that we do. It's by grace, through faith in what Jesus did when he shed his blood and gave his life on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. And during this year, your children have been challenged with that truth. It was already alluded to by one of the workers. They are confronted with the truths of salvation right out of the gate to make sure they understand that reality of what Jesus has done for every sinner and that he offers salvation to all who will come to him in faith. And that's true whether you're a child or whether you're an adult. It's true whether you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. And if that's something that you're uncertain about, you know, any of us would love to talk with you. We'd love to show you from the Scripture what Jesus has done for you and how you can know for sure your sins are forgiven, you have eternal life, and you can really begin a way of walking with him that you have not before really experienced. So if we can be of help to you in that way, I'd love to do it. Oh, Father, we are thankful for your word. Thankful for these parents here. Thankful for the Awana workers. I'm thankful for that which has been accomplished in young people's lives this year. And I pray for each of us who are moms, who are dads, who are grandpas, grandmas, who are those who work with children. I pray, Father, that we would just have a heart to help point these young lives in a direction towards God. We would want to help lead them to Christ. Encourage them to know the Word of God, to obey the Word of God, to believe the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that you would just help each of these parents here to be what you would have them to be as they love, as they nurture, as they touch the palate of their children and seek to inspire them to live for you and walk with you. If there are any under the sound of my voice who haven't trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that they would recognize that need even in this moment and turn to you in saving faith. Bless us as we go tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.